Alright, hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Am I Remembering This Correctly? This is the show where we take a look at some of history's most intriguing people and events. I'm your host, Caleb Giles, and on today's episode we will be covering the feud between the Hatfields and McCoys. Here, we will take a look into American history's most well-known family feud, which involves a Confederate soldier, a hog, an affair, and even an actual game of family feud. And I'm just going to say, hopefully your family doesn't act like this on Thanksgiving. It's sometimes referred to or described as the Hatfield and McCoy War. And this is, of course, we're talking about the infamous family feud, which involved two families of the West Virginia and Kentucky area of the Big Sandy River. The McCoy family, they lived mostly on the Kentucky side, and the Hatfield family, they lived mostly on the West Virginia side of the river. We first meet William Anderson Hatfield, who is known as Devil Ames, and he had the appearance of a backwoods, rough-hewn mountain dweller, and by the 1870s, Devil Ames was an increasingly successful timber merchant who employed dozens of men, including some of the McCoys. On the other side of the feud stood Randolph Old Raynal McCoy. And though he was not as prosperous as Devil Ames, Randolph owned land and livestock. Both families lived along the Big Sandy River, which snaked the border boundary between Kentucky and West Virginia. Both families had complex kinship and social networks. Family loyalty was often determined not only by blood, but by employment and proximity. So, just because you were born a Hatfield didn't mean you fought on the Hatfield side of the feud. You could be born a Hatfield and then get a job for the McCoys and then fight against your own family during the feud. The families even intermarried and sometimes switched family loyalties during the feud. So, you could go from fighting Uncle Jim one day to being Uncle Jim's best friend and comrade the next day. So, the majority of the Hatfield family fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War. The McCoys, most of them also fought for the Confederates. But there was the exception of Asa Harmon McCoy, who fought for the Union. So the first real violent act in this feud was caused by the death of Asa McCoy, who we just mentioned being the Union soldier. As Asa was returning home from the war, he was murdered. So, basically, at the start of the war, Asa McCoy joined the 45th Kentucky Infantry Unit on October 20th, 1863. According to his compiled service records, he was captured by rebels on December 5th, 1863. He was then released 4 months later to a Union hospital in Maryland. At the same time of his capture, he was recovering from a gunshot wound that he had suffered in the chest. During the early months of the Civil War, he joined a new company of Pike County Home Guards, and it is thought that he sustained the gunshot wound while serving in that unit. On the other side, William Francis led a company of Pike County Guards, and a group of which attacked and shot Mose Christian Klein, who was a family friend of the Hatfields. So, Asa McCoy, a Union soldier, joins a unit which then plays an attack on Confederate soldiers and kills a family friend of Devil Ames Hatfield, who was essentially one of the leaders of the Hatfield family. And although the family friend Klein survived the attack and survived his wounds, Devil Ames Hatfield vowed to retaliate against everyone responsible for almost killing his friend. Beginning in December 1864, the 45th Kentucky Infantry Unit began mustering its regiments out of service. Asa's Company E was mustered out on December 24th, 1864 in Ashland. So, after that attack, Asa's Company is disbanded and they're told, hey, you can go home. So, on Asa's journey home, he is killed on January 7th, just 13 days after leaving the Union Army camp. And although Asa was murdered by a group of Confederate home guards called the Logan Wildcats, the McCoy family suspected that Devil Ames Hatfield was the person who killed Asa. But he was actually later confirmed to have been sick at home at the time of the murder. But blame then switched to Devil Ames' uncle, Jim Vance, a member of the Wildcats who committed the murder. So, a McCoy family son is discharged from the Union Army and he said, you can go home. On his way home, an uncle of the Hatfield family kills him with his gang, the Logan Wildcats. And this really raises the tensions between the family and kicks the feud off. This leads to relations between the two families continuing to sour over the next decade before flaring up again over a seemingly small matter. The next violent dispute happened over a single hog. Floyd Hatfield, a cousin of Devil Ames, had the hog, but a member of the McCoy family, Randolph McCoy, claimed that it was his. The McCoy son claimed that the notches on the pig's ears meant property of McCoy and not property of Hatfield. So this dispute went so far that they actually took it to the local court. And these families had so much power in their two regions that you won't believe who the judge was. So they take it to court, and the justice presiding over the case was actually Anderson Preacher Ames Hatfield. So they take him to court, but the judge of the court, of that local court, is a Hatfield. So, of course, he rules in favor of the Hatfields based on the key witness testimony of Bill Statton, who was actually related to both the Hatfields and the McCoys. And this obviously outraged the McCoys. And in June 1880, Statton, the key witness in the hog case, was killed by the two McCoy brothers, Sam and Paris. And these two were later taken again to trial to the same judge for killing Statton. And the Hatfields, who were suing them, basically said, look, these two guys just killed a man just because he said the pig was ours. And then Sam and Paris, the two McCoy brothers who were on trial, claimed it was self-defense. And they gave this long, elaborate story of how Statton approached them after the trial and smack-talked them about their pig and just this elaborate story. And the same Hatfield who had just said, hey, that's the Hatfield pig, not a McCoy pig, let the McCoys go on murdering a Hatfield. And so, upon seeing this, the Hatfield family, well, they're not pleased at all. So, the feud, it actually takes a more of a Romeo and Juliet turn. It kind of becomes a Capulet-Montague sort of thing. Because within months after Statton's murder, a heated affair was set ablaze. At a local election day gathering in 1880, John C. Hatfield, the 18-year-old son of Devil Ames Hatfield, encountered Rosanna McCoy, Randolph McCoy's daughter. According to accounts, John Say and Rosanna hit it off. They would disappear together for hours, and they were always seen in the town center talking and laughing. Supposedly, fearing retaliation from her family for mingling with the Hatfields, Rosanna McCoy stayed at the Hatfield residence for a long period of time. Upon finding out and searching for their daughter, finding out that, oh hey, our daughter's across the river at the other camp, you know, the family we hate who stole our pig, the McCoy family actually disowns Rosanna for her betrayal. But after they make a big deal out of it, they see the couple, they get mad, they disown their daughter. Right after all that, about 2 weeks later, John C. Hatfield decides that he wants to break up with Rosanna for the new girl in town. So he just breaks up with Rosanna, kicks her out of the Hatfield house, and then she's also disowned from the McCoy house. So she's just kind of in the middle now, not a Hatfield, not a McCoy, technically, because she's been disowned by both. And even though Rosanna was pregnant at the time, John Say still left her for her cousin, Nancy McCoy. So, John Say dates Rosanna, gets her pregnant, and, you know, he's talking about marriage and just feeding her all these sweet fantasies. And then, after a couple months, he tells her, I'm breaking up with you so I can go date your cousin Nancy. Thanks for putting in the good word. And they break up, leaving her pregnant and alone. And, you know, seeing this, obviously the McCoys aren't going to be like, oh, well, good job, Hatfield. The McCoys actually take Rosanna back into the family, and they take John Say hostage as retribution for the Hatfields. But the Hatfields end up storming the McCoy family house and freeing him by force. The feud escalates and continues in 1882, but this time it escalates to new measures. When Ellison Hatfield, a brother of Ames, was killed by three of Rosanna's younger brothers, Tolbert, Farmer, and Bud. Farmer, spelt with a PH and not a F, setting high standards for their kids. On another election day, they loved to fight at the polls, which is kind of what our nation's doing today. On an election day in Kentucky, the three McCoy brothers fought a drunken Ellison and his Hatfield brother. Ellison Hatfield was stabbed 26 times by the McCoy brothers and then was finished off with a gunshot to the head. The McCoy brothers were initially arrested by Hatfield constables and were then taken across the river to Pikeville for a trial. Secretly, though, Devil Ames organized a large group of followers and intercepted the constables and their McCoy prisoners before they reached Pikeville. So, the McCoy brothers shoot and stab Ellison Hatfield and his brother. They kill them both. Then the Hatfield family captures the McCoy brothers, and they're walking across the river to put them on trial for murder. But Devil Ames forms a secret group, and they actually intercept the McCoy prisoners before they get to Pikeville. And Devil Ames and his group takes the McCoy brothers by force to West Virginia. After Ellison Ellison Hatfield died from his injuries, the McCoy brothers were killed by the Hatfields' vigilante justice. The Hatfields tied the McCoy brothers to pawpaw bushes, where each of them were shot numerous times with a total of 50 shots fired on each body. Accounts of the bodies were described as bullet-riddled. Though the Hatfields might have felt their revenge was warranted, the law and the cops felt otherwise, quickly returning indictments against 20 men, including Devil Ains and his sons. Despite the charges, though, the Hatfields continued to elude arrest and elude law enforcement for a long time. This left the McCoys boiling with anger about the murders of their children and an outrage that the Hatfields were still walking free. Their cause was taken up by Perry Klein, an attorney who was married to Martha McCoy, the widow of Randolph's brother, Asa Harmon. So, eventually, the feud comes full circle from where the first violent incident was because of Asa's death. And then, later in the feud, they use a lawyer who was related to Asa to go and capture the Hatfields. So, years earlier, this also adds motivation. Years earlier, Klein had lost a lawsuit against Devil Ains over the deed for thousands of acres of land. And many historians believe that this also left Perry looking for his own form of revenge. Using his political connections, Klein had the charges against the Hatfields reinstated, and he announced rewards for the arrest of any Hatfields, including Devil Ains. The media, I don't know where they've been this whole feud, they first start to report on the feud in 1887. In the media accounts, the Hatfields were often portrayed as violent backwoods hillbillies who roamed the mountains and stirring up violence. Then sensationalist coverage planted the seed for the rivalry to become cemented in the American imagination. What had been a local story was now becoming something of a national legend. The Hatfields may or may not have been paying attention to these media stories, but they were certainly paying attention to the bounties that had been placed on their heads by the McCoys. The McCoys actually went out publicly and told everyone that they placed bounties on all the Hatfields' heads, and that if you arrest or killed one and brought them to them, that they would give you a lump sum of cash. In an effort to end the feud and all the commotion once and for all, a group of Hatfields and their supporters hatched a plan to attack Randolph McCoy and his family. Randolph McCoy being the leader of the McCoy family. Led by Devil Ains' son Cap and ally Jim Vance, a group of Hatfield men ambushed the McCoys' home on New Year's Day in 1888. Randolph McCoy, the leader of the McCoy family, actually fled and escaped into the woods. However, his son and daughter, Calvin and Allie Fair, were not so lucky. They were killed in the crossfire, and his wife, Sarah, was left badly beaten by the Hatfields, suffering a crushed skull, which she would eventually die from. Between 1880 and 1891, the feud claimed more than a dozen lives of the members of both families. On one occasion, the governors of West Virginia and Kentucky even threatened to have their militias invade each other's states. In response, Kentucky governor at the time, S.B. Buckner, sent his general, Sam Hill, to Pike County to investigate the situation. A few days after the New Year's massacre, a posse, yes, they called it their posse, was led by Pike County Deputy Sheriff Frank Phillips, who rode out to track down Ains' group across the border into West Virginia. Two members of the McCoy family were actually part of Phillips' posse, Bud McCoy, who we saw earlier, and one of Randolph's sons, James, nicknamed Jim McCoy. Said posse's first victim was Vance, who was killed in the woods after he refused to be arrested. Phillips then made other successive raids on Hatfield homes and supporters, capturing many and killing another three Hatfield supporters before cornering the rest in Grapevine Creek on January 19th. Unfortunately for Phillips, you know, the Hatfields have been hearing about you going through and, you know, raiding, pillaging, burning down the family's houses, properties, killing all the members. Devil Ains, the Hatfield leader, gathers the rest surviving members of the Hatfields, and they actually form an armed group, and they ambush Phillips' posse and the McCoys at Grapevine Creek. Eventually, a battle ensues between the two parties, and the Hatfields are eventually apprehended. So, the Hatfields stage one last big stand, but they still lose to the McCoys. And the McCoys, who are technically working with the law enforcement. A deputy, Bill Dempsey, was wounded and then executed by Frank Phillips after they surrendered. On August 24th, 1888, eight of the Hatfields and their friends were indicted for the murder of Allie Fair McCoy, sometimes spelled Allifair, Randolph's young daughter. Because, you know, in the 1800s, they just like to juggle names around, and you could be whoever you wanted to be. Some of the Hatfields that were sent to prison included Cap, John Say, Robert, Elliot Hatfield, Ellison Mounts, French Ellis, Charles Gillespie, and Thomas Chambers. So, basically, everyone and anyone who had anything to do with any of the Hatfield-McCoy feud from start to end on the Hatfield side was eventually caught, executed, and or thrown in jail. And the McCoy family kind of just were, since the McCoy family partnered with law enforcement, they were treated with more leniency and more were let go freely. After the battle at Grapevine, years of legal permutations unfolded as a series of courts judged the legal merits of the Hatfield case. Eventually, the case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, Mahon v. Justice, which decided that the Hatfields being held in custody could be tried. The Supreme Court final ruling ruled 7-2 in favor of the state of Kentucky, holding that even if a fugitive is returned from the asylum state illegally instead of through lawful extradition procedure, there is no federal law that prevents him or her from being tried. Eventually, the Hatfield men were tried in Kentucky and were all found guilty. Seven received life imprisonment, while the eighth, Ellison Cottontop Mounts, was executed by hanging and buried in an unmarked grave within sight of the gallows. Ellison had tried to retract his confession, stating that he was innocent and that he had only confessed in the trial because he expected leniency. But his retraction was denied. Thousands attended his hanging in Pikeville, but though the scaffold was in the open, its base was fenced off in order to comply with laws that had been passed, which prohibited public execution. So the Hatfield and McCoy case was so big, it was such a big deal to these locals, that when the Hatfields were arrested and sentenced to death, they completely ignored the law and publicly executed them because it was that big of a deal. With his last words, Ellison claimed that the Hatfields made me do it, the Hatfields made me do it, the darn Hatfields. No one had been sent to the gallows in Pike County for 40 years. And after Ellison, that one special occurrence to the law, nobody was ever hanged in Pike County again. As So after Grapevine and the trials and everybody sentenced to death, the feud kind of fades away. Both family leaders attempted to recede into obscurity, try to live a regular life. Randolph McCoy, the leader of the McCoy family who escaped death, he became a ferry operator. And in 1914, he died at the age of 88 from burns, suffered in an accidental fire. By all accounts, he continued to be haunted by the deaths of his children from the Battle of Grapevine. On the other side, the leader of the Hatfield family, Devil Ames Hatfield, who had long proclaimed his skepticism about religion, was born again later in life when he was baptized and committed to Christianity for the first time at the age of 73. Although the conflict subsided generations ago, the names Hatfield and McCoy continue to loom large in the American culture and imagination in the South today. And just when you thought that the feud was over, you know, because it ended in the 1800s, you think you're leaving it in the past, you're in the 1900s now. There's new members of the family. None of them have really feuded. They've heard bits and pieces and stories from the older members of their family, but none of them really know what happened. So, in 1979, the new members, the new offspring of the Hatfields and McCoys that had feuded in the 1800s, their offspring in 1979 unite for a special week. That's right, a week taping of the popular game show Family Feud, in which they played for a cash prize and a pig, which was kept on stage during the games. The McCoy family won the week-long series 3-2, while the Hatfield family won more money. The Hatfield family won $11,272 compared to the McCoys' $8,459. The decision was made to augment the McCoys family's winnings to $11,273. So basically, even after winning, the McCoy family won the series, but the Hatfield family won money. And at the end of it all, Hatfields didn't want to lose or embarrass their ancestors. So they actually forced the production company to give them one extra dollar. So they went from $11,272 in winnings to $11,273. But the McCoys, in the end, did end up with the brand new pig from Family Feud. So, it's really obvious that everything just ends up coming full circle. Hatfields and McCoys, they both won. They both won some, lost some. Some were killed, some were imprisoned, some eloped with each other. And some of the Hatfields were McCoys, and some of the McCoys were Hatfields. And it's, when you actually look at it, it's just a big, long, jumbled up mess, which spans most of the late 1800s. And now the two families just kind of live with the last name. They know the history of the feud, but they don't actively partake in the feud, thank heavens. And with that, that kind of wraps up our story of the memorable family feud between the Hatfields and the McCoys. If you want to learn more about this feud or see a modern take on it, it has now been made into a humorous dinner show in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which me and my family have actually went and saw. You should try the possum soup. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at AIRTC.podcast for updates and notifications whenever new episodes come out. And with that, I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and I hope everyone has or had an amazing day. Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Caleb signing off.